Not really. You?
Oh, you know, disappointed.
And?
Last night I'm sitting there ready for the 49ers and Jets, ready to see if my guy, Christian McCaffrey, can outduel Virgil's guy, Breece Hall. And, what, an hour and a half, 2 hours before game time, McCaffrey listed as unavailable.
It's too bad. And probably couldn't have picked up the Mason kid who ended up playing and playing very well. Because you would have had to drop somebody, and the only person you could have dropped was Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
So that wasn't
That's a fallacy in the whole setup, isn't it?
Well, it's a little troubling when you find out just before the game and you can't really do anything about it. I don't think that's quite fair, but what are you going to do?
Well, Virgil didn't call and say, I'll give you the win, like I would have.
You would have?
Of course I would have.
Well, maybe you should have gotten...
Jordan Mason, 147 yards, 28 carries. How does that happen? I mean, they must have really believed in that guy. First of all, to put McCaffrey on the inactive list, that soon before the game.
Well, did you hear Jordan Mason after the game said he knew Friday he was going to start?
Well, why didn't they tell me?
I don't know. I don't know why they didn't inform fantasy owners and gamblers.
And isn't that illegal?
It's not good. I don't know the legality of it, but yeah, to kind of withhold or
wouldn't you be upset if you were the Jets?
The injury report. No, I wouldn't be upset if I were the Jets. I'd be upset if I was a gambler. If I, you know, because you laid
that money down. Although the 49ers covered,
but you had a downgrade. So why would the Jets be upset? You get Jordan Mason or whatever the kid's name is instead of Christian McCaffrey.
Well,
he would have had some catches. He probably would have ended up with...
Jordan Mason had a catch or two.
He probably would have ended up with something similar.
I don't know. Maybe.
Probably.
But that was an impressive performance by the 49ers. And if you're thinking, you know, they didn't have Ayuk either.
They had him. He just didn't.
Didn't play. Did he play?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he got two ball. But he was I thought he wasn't going to play.
He played.
I thought he was out.
Absolutely not. He signed week or so ago.
He wasn't ready to play.
Well, he probably wasn't ready to play.
And so he's not nearly at full speed.
And Peyton Manning went off on the poor kid, Ayuk, when he dropped a touchdown. I was going to say dropped a touchdown in the end zone, but that's where touchdowns happen, so I'm not going to say that. He dropped a ball in the end zone. He dropped a touchdown.
Well, that's too bad. And Peyton Manning, good for Peyton Manning.
I guess.
It's what he's paid to do, right?
It was a little over the top.
But a better broadcaster, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady?
Peyton Manning.
But let's not completely give up on Brady. I thought he was better in the second half. He just needs to find himself, man. That's hard. First of all, you go into this, your first game ever, first real game ever, all the buildup, you're Tom Brady. Everybody's hoping you fail, right?
I don't think so.
Most people.
Greg Olson, maybe, but I think a lot of people were...
A lot of people wanted Tom to fail.
I don't know about that. I'm not a big Tom Brady guy at all, but I don't think I was wanting him to fail.
You're the first guy to text me. I just tuned in. Is Brady this bad?
Well, he was bad.
That's the kind of stuff I don't need on a Sunday. I like Tom Brady.
Fine. There's nothing wrong with liking Tom Brady.
And I think he'll settle in and be good at this.
You think? I mean, he's never showed a personality one day of his life. So we just think that's going to come out now?
I thought he showed some personality.
Some.
In the second
very
half.
Little.
I thought he did better. It's not like I hung with the game.
No, it was a
but
terrible game.
But I tuned back and forth, and the little snippets I got in the second half were a little more encouraging.
Good.
Yeah, I'm sure they talked to him at halftime.
Well, they should continue talking to him.
Right. And who's his broadcast partner?
You would ask me that.
What's that guy's name? Kevin Burkhart. I'm sure Kevin Burkhart had a moment with him. Said, come on, Tom.
Yeah, I'm sure he's had a lot of conversations with a lot of people.
Loosen up. Don't undo your thing on the microphone.
Well,
I can hear everything you're doing. I mean,
tough.
That's completely unprofessional.
I need some water.
to unscrew your water bottle. Well, unscrew it before the show starts.
I didn't know it was going to be that difficult. I thought I could just, with one hand, kind of twist it off, but they had it on there pretty good.
Well, of course we do here at League 42.
Why wouldn't you?
We buy the best water, Ozarka.
Is that the best?
Proudly Texan since 1905. Can you believe that?
Why did they think to bottle water in 1905?
I'm sure they bottled water since 1905.
At least.
Right? Here's what we have for you, our listeners, on the show today. It's been a while. Vahe Gregorian will join us from the Kansas City Star. Remember that time Jesse Newell said, you guys get Vahe on the show? He doesn't do any radio. Now, I took that as a badge of honor, but Vahe was kind of on a special assignment for the summer, working on some bigger projects for the Star, and he's back in the sports world now. We got Vahe on at 2:25. At 2:45, now this one just fell into our laps. Former Wichita State basketball guard Terrence Flowers from the 90s played for Scott Thompson, that era.
I think he played for Smithson, too, for a year, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe.
95-96 team, I'm pretty sure.
He was a recruit of Scott Thompson.
He was.
And came out of the great city of Chicago. And out of nowhere, Terrence ran into one of our ad people yesterday when she was out making a call, and they got to talking about Odyssey, and I don't know how the conversation turned to me, but it was told to Terrence that I was working at Odyssey, had a radio show, and he told Janice to make sure that I called him. Said he'd been trying to reach out to me for 4 months.
Really?
This is the first I've heard of it.
You don't seem to be that hard to get a hold of. I wonder what the hang-up was.
So we're going to talk to Terrence Flowers. He's got a book out, and he wants to promote that a little bit. And he's back in Wichita, and I am highly intrigued to talk to Terrence Flowers, a former Shocker basketball player, coming up at 2:45. And later in the show today at 3:25, we'll visit, we'll have a game. Jeff has a game for us.
Sure.
As he does every Tuesday. I wanted to mention, before we get any deeper into the show, I wanted to send out our best to former Wichita East Bueller basketball coach Don Cameron. He and his wife were hit by a drunk driver recently, I believe over the weekend. His wife lost her life in that accident. I understand. I've been told that Don is on the path to recovery and should be okay, but just a terrible thing. And Don, of course, coached at Wichita East back in the day. Had Mark Hutton. Remember Mark Hutton?
I know the name.
Mark Hutton went to Auburn and was a tremendous city leaguer. And I was reminded of this. I actually heard about this on Sunday, I believe. I got a call earlier today from our friend Dale Faber, who reminded me about this. And so I wanted to pass along our thoughts to Don Cameron, who one of the friendliest coaches I've ever been around. While I was talking to Faber, he mentioned that he had heard that we had discussed City League coaches the other day.
Yes.
And that you, what was your...
I don't know.
What were you saying?
I don't remember. I think it might have been you that was saying it.
I think you brought his name up. Is Dale Faber one of those historic coaches? So you put me in a tough
spot. And you said absolutely not.
Well, I didn't say absolutely not.
You said Dale Faber of all people? I think
we're... No, I didn't say that. And you're just trying to get me in more hot water. So he said, I heard something about you and Jeff talking about City League basketball coaches, and I said, oh, that damn Jeff. Are you the one that told him?
No.
What I told Dale Faber, of course, who had a good run at Bishop Carroll, and he's back as their boys basketball coach now. He had a very good run. They were really good, but they never won a City League championship. They never won a state championship.
Sure.
And it was my belief, my assertion on our show when this topic came up, who are the City League basketball coaching legends, that Dale Faber would not get to that level of legend. So I was forced to break that to him today. Said, Dale, listen, I think you're fantastic. I love you. But no, I can't put you in that category without a state championship or two.
Has every City League school won a state championship in basketball?
I believe so. West has, North has, Southeast has, Heights has, Capen has,
East
Bishop Carroll has.
I think they have, recently.
They have. Northwest has.
South.
South obviously. Has, and North has.
Yeah, well, you might have said some of those twice, but I don't think I did. I don't think there's any
East
of them.
East has.
Yeah, they all have.
They've all won.
That's kind of amazing.
Title.
I bet that's the only league in the state that can make that.
Might
claim.
Be. Well, they've all been around a long time.
I get it.
And the players,
a lot of schools have been around a long time.
The players who come through here are amazing.
You think the Heart of America League hasn't been around a long time?
I don't know.
You think the Eastern Kansas League hasn't been around a long time?
Maybe they've all won state titles for all I know.
Check.
I don't know.
I doubt there's any other league where each school has won a boys' basketball.
What about the Kansas City, Kansas League?
Is that a league?
Used to be.
I don't know. Has, like, Harmon?
Schlegel's won.
Has Harmon won?
I don't think Harmon's won, but Wyandotte certainly has. Turner, I'm not sure.
Doubtful.
Ward, may have.
Unlikely.
Don't sell Ward short.
I would never.
I mean, Kansas City Ward has had some moments.
I'll take your word for it. I don't remember any of those moments. You can't really do research on that. It would take forever,
but
I might have to look that up.
The athlete that comes to mind, Kansas City Washington was good. I don't think they ever won a state title. But the athlete that comes to mind when I think about Kansas City Ward High School is Neil Allen.
Okay.
Who was traded by the Mets to the Cardinals for Keith Hernandez.
And he went to Bishop Ward High School.
He went to Bishop Ward High School.
Impressive.
But that was one of the worst trades we ever made.
Not a good one.
My goodness. Tough.
Keith Hernandez, by the way, I'm going to say he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I don't have my ability to look at things. I thought about bringing my laptop out here. But when I do have the ability to look at things, I completely overwhelm you with knowledge. So this is me kind of.
I did Jeff's Baseball Hall of Fame, and I'm pretty sure he was in it. Just went by feel. Just got a Hall of Famer.
Feel?
Yes or no? Yes or no? To everybody.
Lou Brock a Hall of Famer?
I think I put him in.
Well, you better.
He had 3,000 hits.
And?
Nothing.
Almost.
That's about it.
Almost 1,000 stolen bases.
I'm pretty sure I put him in.
And? World Series hero. And?
He had 305 and 20 at-bats.
And?
What?
Keep going.
There's not much
Keep
left.
Keep talking about Lou Brock.
He's fine.
1,600-plus runs.
Good player.
And one of my all-time favorites. In fact, my second favorite Cardinal of all time.
Really?
Behind Gibby.
Who's number he's ahead of Ozzie Smith.
Ozzie's in there. But you got to remember, I go back to
these
are the developing.
How could you like Lou Brock more than you like Ozzie?
But do you understand that this is what hit me when I was just in my formative years? I was taken aback by the greatness that I'd never seen before.
Great.
In Gibson and Brock.
But it's not like you got to watch them play every day.
I got to listen to them play almost every day.
That's a little different than watching them.
Well, not when you're listening to Harry Carey and Jack Buck. You understand how that is?
Ozzie, you could see it. You could see it right in front
no,
of your
I
eyes.
I love Ozzie Smith.
He might, yeah, you should. He might be my favorite player of all time.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Let's get Ozzie Smith on this show.
I tried to look him up. He's not really out there.
I'm going to make that effort. I've made the effort for a big name. We'll talk more about it off the air.
Well, you not only made an effort, you promised that he'd be on the show, and I hope a lot of people have forgotten about that, but I have not.
Well, you want to hear the exchange?
I do, yes, actually.
All right, why not? Because Ray Ritter's a friend of mine.
What's he going to do?
Huh?
He's not gonna be upset.
Here's what I sent. Hey, Ray, is it crazy to ask about the possibility of getting Steph Curry to come on our show? If it is, please tell me. You know, I don't want to be barking up the wrong tree. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Here's what he said. Not crazy to ask. He'd probably do it for me. I won't see him until camp starts, October 1, but happy to see if I can get him on for 15 minutes. If any superstars would do it, it would be him. I'll put him on my list.
Hmm. Good job, Ray.
How about me?
Yeah, what'd you do?
What I do?
You just asked.
You he's wouldn't ask.
He's the one doing the work.
You wouldn't ask.
Ray Ritter doesn't know me as well as he knows.
He doesn't know. Do that sentence over again.
Ray Ritter doesn't know me as well. I know what you're going to try to do.
One more time.
Ray Ritter
does not
know me as well as he knows you.
He doesn't know you.
I would say he knows me.
Well, he knows Bob and Jeff.
Right.
He figures there's some Jeff along here. But, you know, I mean, he
probably thinks it's me.
He may. He's a smart guy. He may have picked up on it.
Everybody loves him, it seems like.
Ray Ritter or Steph?
Ray Ritter.
Well, he's a wonderful guy.
If we have,
and of course, our connection to Ray Ritter is his connection to Wichita. He grew up here, spent part of his childhood here in Wichita, lived in, I believe, Goddard, and went to Northwest High School for a little bit.
Yeah, that's he's off to
or lived in Northwest Wichita and went to God. One of the
and made a name for himself out in the world.
Yeah, he's now the esteemed media relations director for the Golden State Warriors.
Absolutely, everyone speaks highly of.
Well, everyone, including your guy Jim Rome.
Not, I mean, everybody.
Who else?
I don't know. Every time I've heard Raymond Ritter's name, it's how good at his job he is.
Well, I love the kid. I love the kid. Did you see Dana O'Neill, who's college basketball writer forever? Got to know her a little bit on the NCAA tournament trail throughout the years. She took a job in strategic communications at Villanova.
Really?
Following the same path as our Paul Sullentrop, although she got a big title out of it. Senior assistant athletic director.
Wow. Something. Paul's just a guy.
I think Paul's title is, what's he do? Why did I lash out at Paul?
Paul does a lot of stuff.
Of course he does. Listen, nobody has more respect for Paul Sullentrop than me.
And that's an office of strategic communications that has turned me down.
For what?
I applied for a job there and I even had an interview.
Really?
Yeah.
Got turned down.
I also had an interview in the admissions department. Did not get that job either.
Wow. Well, they probably found out about your academic record.
That could be.
At Wichita State.
Probably shouldn't make that so accessible. I'll look into that.
Right. All they got to do is go to a file. 12 years to finish. Nope.
It's about 8.5.
Joined on the hotline, Vahe Gregorian from the Kansas City Star, their columnist. Vahe, welcome. How are you today?
I'm delighted to be with you guys, is how I am. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. You know, we have Jesse Newell on quite a bit to talk about the Chiefs, and one of the times we had him on, we mentioned that we had Vahe Gregorian as a semi-regular guest here, and his reaction was interesting. It was like, wait a minute, what? Vahe comes on your show? He doesn't come on any show. So I felt a little swagger since then.
Well, I think you might lose some swagger when you realize it's really just because nobody else asks me.
I don't want to
make it sound like I'm not discriminating. I mean, yeah. So, but Jesse probably doesn't know that we go back 35 years or so.
Maybe not. He's probably not aware of that. So before we get rolling, and Jeff has a question for you, we mentioned as we were going to break, this is an incredible time for Kansas City sports and the sports scene in Kansas City. You've got the Royals, look like they're going to make the playoffs, still chasing Cleveland for the division title. You got the Chiefs chasing a third consecutive Super Bowl. You have the potential American League MVP in Bobby Witt Jr. You have a two-time NFL MVP in Patrick Mahomes. You got Travis Kelce. You got Taylor Swift. The list goes on and on. Did you ever imagine, did Kansas Cityans ever imagine anything quite like this?
Well, listen, I think the key word there is imagine, because really all they could have done was imagine for so long. Here's a little fun fact for you. Maybe you guys know this, but only once have the Chiefs and Royals been in the playoffs in the same calendar year, ever. And that was That was 2015. And so think about what that says compared to what this, you know, the sort of the implication of all you've just said means. It's pretty remarkable. And when you add in a couple little things like, I shouldn't say little things, but a couple other things like, you know, this is the first year of the world's first women's professional soccer stadium or any pro venue. Right here in Kansas City, and they've got a chance at a championship. And think about all three of the local-ish major college football programs being in the top 25 and to start the season. And so all that is pretty amazing, and the World Cup coming. So it seems to me it's almost impossible to say that there's ever been a better time in Kansas City sports history. I think you can make that case just based on the Chiefs alone. But when you add everything else in, it's pretty remarkable. And one last side thought on that is that I got here in 2013. At that point, the Royals hadn't been in the postseason in 28 years. The Chiefs hadn't won a postseason game in two decades. I don't think I even realized that when I got here. I'm like, oh, yeah, this has been pretty tough. And I just kind of blundered into it at the right time, because it's a pretty fertile time to be covering Kansas City sports.
I'm probably making too much of the series between the Yankees and the Royals, and last night it was Salvador Perez and it was Austin Wells doing most of the damage, but are we going to get a clear-cut MVP out of this series? Will one of these guys take the reins? Do you think it's Judge's to lose? Do you think it's Witt's to lose? How do you stack up those two candidates, and what might this short series in the Bronx tell us?
Well, it's interesting. I think you're right that it really is just a snapshot, but also there's a combination of recency bias and, you know, having these guys head-to-head in the media capital of the world. And so all those things, I think, will be magnified. I guess I would say that it seems to me it's probably Aaron Judge's to lose, but that doesn't mean he can't lose it. You know, does Bobby Witt need to just categorically outperform him next 2 days to have that, you know, kind of spark for his campaign? Maybe, wouldn't hurt. I think the interesting question that always looms over this to me, and maybe a better governing body has decided this answer than whatever is in my addled mind, but it strikes me that we need to remember there are two different questions. Sometimes they're the same answer, but two different questions about most valuable versus best, right? And I think you can make the case very well for either of them as the best, but I think Bobby Witt's case is you know, a notch better as most valuable, what it means to the team. You know, a team that is on trajectory to have the greatest turnaround in baseball history. It might not happen that way, but it's on trajectory. It's already won whatever it is, 24 more games than last year, 23. So, you know, there's a lot to that part of the equation. I'm reminded of what a NCAA tournament committee director and former accountant once said about breaking down numbers, that if you torture the numbers long enough, you can get them to confess to anything. So I think you can make your cases with numbers either way. But if you make the case based on impact on a team, seems to me Bobby Witt's got a little bit of an edge.
Vahe Gregorian, our guest. Interesting, because both are on a little bit of a downturn right now. Aaron Judge has not homered in 13 games, which is given the fact he has 51, that's pretty remarkable. And Bobby Witt Jr. just 8 for his last 40. So one of those guys needs to get hot, and if one does and the other doesn't, that could be it. Let's talk about the Chiefs, Fahey, for a little bit. They opened in grand form at home against Baltimore the other night. High expectations. They added Xavier Worthy to this roster, which we'll look back on in 15 years, in my opinion, and go, my goodness, how in the world did he drop that far? This looks like an offensive group that could be really, really good. Do you agree?
I do agree. And I think a couple interesting things about this, like, obviously that game could have gone the other way. I mean, I literally don't remember ever seeing a closer final play. I mean, we've seen plays that were really close, difference makers, but on a final play, pretty tough to find that. So that game could have gone the other way. And I think it would have been a little more decisive if not for just a couple little things that each team could say that. But I noticed, for instance, the Chiefs had a chance to really administer a knockout blow. It was late third quarter, early fourth quarter, 3rd and 5, and they've got P. Ryan on the left, and it just doesn't quite connect. I couldn't tell you if Patrick short-armed it or if he slightly overthrew it or P. Ryan just didn't catch it. That might have been a touchdown, but it certainly was going to be a first down, and I thought that could have ended the game. And I bring that up because they just got him, and I think he's going to be a real asset to the team. Bear in mind, they played without Hollywood Brown, and yet they were able to stretch the field and expand sort of their attack just because of Xavier Worthy in ways that we didn't really see last year. And to say nothing of the fact that Xavier Worthy scored 2 touchdowns basically untouched. So I just feel like there's a dimension to this offense that's been added, and it will continue to expand. And I think it's pretty exciting offensively. And look, the defense had some glitches. It was odd that first Ravens drive became a touchdown drive, despite whatever it was, 3 or 4 penalties for the illegal formation. But the defense made 4 or 5 plays that also were the game-winning plays. So I think the defense is going to be, I think, pretty good. Just, a little bit of a new team, new identity concept, where even if the changes are subtle, they've still got to deal with some losses that have to be made up for, like, L'Jarius Sneed. But I think you could feel pretty good about that win, I guess, is the shorter-winded way of saying that. And it sure, to me, bodes well to start the season that way. And you can certainly see room for plenty of improvement, but also a baseline there that's pretty exciting.
I wanted to ask you, too, about Xavier Worthy. And it's like a bigger example. We've seen it, it seems like, a lot. What do the Chiefs know about roster building that other teams don't? It's not like this guy was just a sprinter and they're bringing him in on potential. He had 1,000 yards receiving for Texas, of all teams, last year, and he gets that first touch into the end zone. It's like, oh, they have Tyreek Hill again. They'll be unstoppable. How did he fall that far?
Well, I guess I don't know the answer to that, but I guess I'd put it this way, that it strikes me that I think some people thought he was a little undersized, he's going to get pushed around, and, they saw those aspects to it. The Chiefs were actually really worried they had no chance of him when he broke the combine 40-yard dash record, but for whatever reason, those other things seem to persist, and, it really is a thing where no one should have let the Chiefs get this guy. I mean, that should have been a more important thing than who they did get, and I know Buffalo's been questioned about this a little bit. So I just think they identify a guy that fits for them, and I think that's happened a few times. They're willing to roll the dice a little bit. If you recall, when they got Tyreek Hill, they were, much criticized, especially here, for doing that because of the domestic violence past, and yet they built him into an incredible player, and that's how they've kind of done it. They have found guys that were, for one reason or another, not on everybody else's boards, whether it's size or perceived character issues or things like that, and been able to mold him to Andy's system.
We're with Vahe Gregorian. A few more minutes left. Last question for you, Vahe. I wanted to get your thoughts. KU and K-State both have really interesting games, as they did last weekend. KU got blemished by Illinois. But I wanted to ask you about Mizzou because, man, that program has taken off. You were their beat writer for a long time when you were at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You saw the trials and tribulations. Are you surprised that they've gotten this good under Eli Drinkwitz, and how sustainable is it? How big of a factor do you think they can be in the SEC?
Well, look, that's the essence of the question for them right now, is how sustainable is this? Last year was an incredible season for them because, for a lot of reasons, but not the least of which was, I thought Eli Drinkwitz went into it very much on the fence about whether he's going to be able to keep his job. He was sub 500. The thing that's been evident all along is he's very charismatic, great recruiter, and he strikes me as a guy who is built for the times in terms of the transfer portal and NIL and all these things that are, you know, keeping the game in flux. He seems like a guy who knows how to roll with it. And I think it looks to me like they've got some staying power, because really nobody's really doubted the recruiting. Now, you say staying power in the SEC, it's not hard to see a couple injuries and a couple losses and things, you know, go the other way. But this season to me is really important because they need this to demonstrate that it wasn't just a one-hit wonder last year. And that means also with the expanded college football playoff, they've got a chance, I think, pretty decent chance to be in that. So this is a pivotal season that way. And as you guys know, as we all know, success begets success. I mean, once you start showing you can be in that sort of tier, then I don't want to say ever becomes easy, but it certainly becomes easier to recruit. You've got way more to sell, and that could really bode well for Missouri. So it's a pretty darn interesting season for them. I do think they need to make sure they get off to the start they're supposed to and win these first four games at home, just because you don't want an early stumble to cascade into something else. And I think they're better than most of the teams on the schedule, but not all of them.
All right, Vahe. Well, it's a pretty interesting game they've got this weekend against number 24 Boston College. So we'll see what happens there. We always appreciate your time. Thank you so much, and we'll get with you soon, okay?
Good luck in the rest of those radio interviews doing.
Yeah, great to be with you guys. And tell Jesse, I was here.
Thanks, Vahe.
All right, guys.
All right. There's Vahe Gregorian from the Kansas City Star. Here is someone I'm not sure I expected to ever hear from again, but I've had the good fortune of hearing from him. And he heard from me, Terrence Flowers, Wichita State guard back in the 90s, from 93 to 96, under Scott Thompson. Back in town, has a book out. Terrence, hello, welcome.
Thank you for having me. How you doing, Bob?
Yes, this is crazy. This is just crazy. But I'm thrilled that we've reconnected. You've been in Wichita, you told me this morning, for a few months. Tell us about what you're doing, where you've been. You've got a big story. You've written it in a book called Corporate G. It's kind of a three-parter, so we'll get into that in a minute. But tell us what you're doing at the moment.
Well, at the moment, I'm doing some personal training here in Wichita and, just building relationships with certain people that's trying to do positive and move and evolve with me as well.
How often do you get back here, Terrence, and when you're not here, where else do you go?
Well, back to Chicago and Florida. You know, my kids, I got two kids. My daughter, Layla Marie Flowers, she's 15. My son, Amari Javon Flowers, he's 15. They live in Florida, so I travel back and forth to see them. And that's the majority of my time, making sure that my children have the proper guidance that they need.
We're talking with former Shocker guard Terrence Flowers. I've done a little math here. Are you 50 now?
Close.
How old are you?
49.
There you go.
Right there.
Well, hang on to it, man. Don't let it turn to 50. So I'm very curious about your book that you've written. It's called Corporate G. It kind of is based on your life, and you've had an interesting life since you played collegiately here for the Shockers. Give us a little synopsis of what that life's been, why you decided to write a book about it, and how cathartic maybe that was for you.
Well, after, you know, evolving, you know, when you're evolving in life, it's not a number of age that it takes to be mature. So it takes experience to do so. So my story, you know, from the time, you know, my mother passed away and, you know, moving forward with my father and things of that nature, you know, from the story that you covered when I was in college, everything evolved from that. So, you know, moving to Vegas after graduating from Wichita State, you know, living in Vegas for 15 years and you know, going out to, you know, L.A. and playing with the Milwaukee Bucks in the FILA Summer Pro League in 1997. And that experience, you know, that, you know, didn't evolve for me. So that's where my basketball career stopped at. And then I had to move forward in life from there.
Yeah, so how closely is the book? Is it an autobiography? It seemed like there might be elements of fiction in it. Is it all true? Because I got the little sample that Amazon provides, the first couple chapters, and there's a lot of stuff in there that might shock some people. So what did you go through, especially in Las Vegas?
Oh, well, you know, it's experience. So, you know, going into a situation, you know, Las Vegas is a different story. You know, it's a different life. You know, different things go on in Las Vegas that's allowed to go on there. So not being evolved consciously in certain things, you know, you can get involved in a mirage of things that you have no idea, you know, the evolution of it. So if things evolve at a certain level where you're making money and you're trying to, you know, provide for yourself and things of that nature, and you're not familiar with a certain avenue of getting money, you know, it can change your life. So it's a testimony. Also, it's an urban book, so it's a story about the streets as well. So no, all of it's not true, but it is a book based on a true story, and it should be a great read, and it should keep people turning the pages all through the night.
No doubt. You were an interesting guy from the moment you set foot on Wichita State's campus, and I'm sure before that, but that's my experience. Mm-hmm. I'd like you to share a few of your memories from that time of playing at Wichita State. Obviously, the team struggled at times, but there were also high points. Do you keep in touch with any of those teammates? Do you regard that time in your life as being a critical juncture for you?
Well, that time in our life was a great experience as well, because, you know, we had to be adults at an early age coming here to play at Wichita State, because, you know, there was a lot going on. The coach that brought me here, you know, he transferred out, you know, as soon as I got here. So, and that was Coach Giovanni, which was the reason that I decided to come to Wichita. So, me and Jamie both decided to come here because of Giovanni. So things had took a turn right before we got here. So that was a different frequency right off the bat. Some of the memories were great, and some of the memories were not as great, you know, but overall, I was thankful to be able to come here and play at Wichita State, and I'm still grateful to be able to come here and experience, you know, Shocker, you know, life.
Yeah, those teams that you played on, I was Pretty young, starting to be a teenager. I remember them very well. I remember you and LD Swanson in the backcourt. Those were fun teams, even though I know the success wasn't always there. What do you remember about playing with LD?
Oh yeah, LD Swanson. LD was he was a leader, and he was put in a different position. He was really a two guard. But me and him switched positions, which is Scott Thompson's idea, where I played the two more often than he played the one. So I had a great time with LD. We battled. I wish him the best. I haven't spoke to LD in a while. I would love to conversate and have a conversation with him as well. But I have spoke with Ryan Hurst at an alumni function, and I keep in touch with Ryan Hurst and Brian Newell, ex-guys that played with us. So, me and Ryan was conversating a week ago about the trauma that we went through when we was at Wichita State, guys getting kicked off the team, John Smith and, other guys, Michael Wiggins and things of that nature. And it put a lot of pressure on us as freshmen because we really didn't have no idea about what was going on at that level. We were just, we were freshmen, but, we didn't understand the politics and everything else that came with it. So, we were having lunch, and he was explaining to me, like, hey, once we left, he didn't feel comfortable coming back to Wichita State, because, we were embarrassed, because of, the season and how, everything turned out, for our team and how it broke up and we never had no camaraderie as a team and no closure as a ball club. So, me and him, we had closure a few weeks ago and, we hugged it out and, we talked up to this day. So that was great for me and a great peace of mind for him because we were still in the same place mentally that we didn't know we was at.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you and Ryan got to break bread and talk it out. I would love to hear from LD Swanson. Those were, of course, I was a beat writer for the Wichita Eagle for some of those teams. So you guys kept me busy, no doubt about it. Terrence, it's fantastic to catch up with you. You've got a book out called Corporate G. It's available wherever you get your books, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Thank you, and let's stay in touch, okay?
I appreciate your time, Bob.
All right, take care.
Terrence Flowers,
of all people.
How about that?
When I did the show yesterday, that might have been the last person I expected to be a guest today.
He was one of my favorite players, number 12.
Love Terrence. Boy, he was brash.
That's why I like
it. Hey, you like that?
Yeah, of course.
That team was something else.
Interesting group of guys. He went from kind of one era to another, even though it was Scott Thompson the whole way. You had the John Smith, Michael Wiggins years, and then it kind of went forward to like the Chad Elston, Ryan Hurst years. Those were almost like two different programs, but some people stayed in it.
Big John Smith, when they recruited him out of Columbia, South Carolina, they thought they had something.
They did.
And it didn't quite pan out.
He had the talent.
Went on to VCU, where he did pretty well. But with the Shockers, it never quite settled in.
It's too bad.
But
have you heard from him in the
He's a Facebook
decades.
Friend of mine, believe it or not.
I think we've had him on the show.
That one doesn't ring a bell.
We had Jamie Arnold. John Smith.
Don't think we've had John Smith. Maybe we'll get him one of these days.
Might as well try.
People remember that era of Shocker basketball?
I don't know. I do, and a lot of people, I'm sure, do that have been around for a while.